Bertemu kembali, 90% ekonomi ASEAN terdiri daripada PKS dan 70% PKS ini dalam sektor pembuatan. Kumpulan ini adalah penting dalam menyokong rantaian bekalan rentas sempadan. Namun menurut syarikat pemula DLT Ledgers, pematuhan yang ketat dan juga kawal selia bank akibat penipuan yang tinggi berikan kesan kepada PKS dari segi pembiayaan dagangan. Ini terutama untuk PKS dalam sektor pembuatan untuk teruskan perniagaan. DLT Ledgers yang berpusat di Singapura percaya ini adalah isu kritikal dan jika tidak diselesaikan, ia mampu berimpak kepada rantaian bekalan di Asia dan global. Kita ingin melihat kepada cabaran dalam pembiayaan dagangan bersama pengasas bersama DLT Ledgers, Samir Neji di Singapura. Samir, thank you for joining us. Samir, what are the challenges SMEs in the region face regarding trade financing and how is this affecting their recovery?
Yes. Thank you for having me in today's show, Rizal. SMEs have long struggled to access trade finance due to a combination of factors, including credit worthiness, collateral requirements, short-term liquidity, and also geopolitical and currency risk. Mm-hmm. The COVID has only accelerated in terms of the trade finance gap. As per the UN Sustainable Development Goals, we were set to eradicate, several of the poverty issues and minimizing of inequality between SMEs and larger corporates. Mm-hmm. But I think based on what we hear, the trade financing gap has grown from 1.5 trillion to more than 1.9 to 5 trillion odd, based on an ICC estimate which came out in 2021. Mm-hmm. Factoring in this estimation along with the existing 2019 trade finance gap, I think, it's pretty, we are in a pretty bad situation. We now need between US 3.4 billion, a trillion to 6.5 trillion in terms of trade financing gap, which has grown. And when you look at SMEs, they are the worst hit. And if you look at the banks and other financial organizations which support these SMEs, their exposure to SMEs is less than 23% in Malaysia, for example, mm-hmm. and less than 22% in Singapore. We need a large financing gap of 30 to 40 billion each on each of these countries in ASEAN, to really build a recovery pattern for these organizations.
And Samir, you mentioned in your notes to us that banks are also a bit more cautious during this pandemic. Why?
I think if you look at a global phenomenon, what has happened is our risk profiling has completely changed over the pandemic period. Mm-hmm. Individually, you and me, our own risk profiling has changed, and how we see risk has changed a lot in terms of our relationship with what we do. Similarly, businesses, whether it's large or small, has had the same impact. Look at Citibank. They are the second largest foreign bank in Australia or India. And yesterday they announced that they are coming out of retail banking in almost 13 countries. So I think it's not an SME issue. For large enterprises, the risk profiling for these enterprises have changed. And I think it's going to take a net new normal in terms of these risk factors. I think it's going more towards ownership and authentication when they try to transact between each other. I think this is impacting the SMEs the most, and banks wanted the right kind of documentation. Mm-hmm. The trust factor, between the bank and the SME, the trust factor is based on counterparty risk, which the bank takes in terms of financing. So there is a number of factors, which is related to credit risk and documentary risk, which they don't want to take that risk on top of SMEs.
Okay. So do you see this space, or do you see the space for non-bank players to take part to perhaps solve this issue for the SMEs?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. The inexperience in the alternative financing groups in different countries and the specific smaller areas where they can finance and their risk appetite and their cost of funds are too heavy for SMEs. Mm-hmm. So I think they can contribute, but I feel that the government intervention is a big factor which we need to consider for these SMEs, looking at the employability of the employment generation out of SMEs. And in Malaysia, three out of four jobs in Malaysia is created by SMEs. The same mm-hmm. goes for Singapore, Indonesia, and many of these countries. If you bring the bracket of MSME, into SMEs, maybe starting from a very small business of less than maybe $5 to $10 million, maybe take to a $1 billion business. You know, these businesses generate like 3 to 4 jobs in our economies. So I think it's high time, we give real consideration on how we can pump money across to SMEs. And alternative financing is one way of doing it. And then there could be, different working capital frameworks which can be introduced on the fiscal policies of these countries, which can help the process.
Go ahead, Samir.
No, I was saying the most impacted of this is cross-border trade. And cross-border trade financing and supplier financing for these, processes. Imagine a manufacturer in Malaysia trying to export out. He gets the right amount of funding, then, automatically he retains a job in employment and, creates the economy, so based out of that in a post-pandemic scenario. Mm-hmm. So global trade finance is something which is actually hit, when we look at the numbers, it's quite alarming.
What more can be done to address the issue, Samir?
Based on a number of factors, I think government intervention is, one aspect. In some of these countries, including Malaysia, Singapore, there is some level of government support which is coming across to SMEs. So that's number one. Number two is digitization. Mm-hmm. One of the key factors is on the risk side. Why SMEs are not getting financing? We discussed on, how digitization could help on traceability so that, can we give shared ownership and authentication, to the banks to make them comfortable. Can an SME expose what they have in front of a bank in terms of a trade process so that they get financed for that? Because it's all about the risk patterns and what has changed within the equation. And if these transactions and interrelationship between banks and SMEs, is on a secured, shared and authenticated way of exchange of data, between these organizations, and the bank gets more comfortable in terms of financing these SMEs. So I think digitization is one of the best criterion of how we can pull this through short-term and also in a long-term framework.
Well, tell us about the solutions provided by DLT Ledgers and how that could perhaps help the SMEs in this region to better finance their trade.
Yeah, imagine, this situation, we work with our customers to offer the fintech technology, which is a very deep tech technology. We are an engine which provides trust to both the parties, to the banks as well as to the SMEs or large corporates. And we connect the dot and, we build a trusted highway between these parties so that they can exchange and they can give information which is trusted information, which is secured. It's not an email. It's not a WhatsApp message. It's not a manual document, which could be fraudulent in nature, which is being given across to a bank, which is a fear within the bank's mind. So we build that trust engine between enterprises and SMEs and banks, so that they can operate together. And the banks can minimize their risk, whereas the SMEs get the financing as a part of it. This includes like KYC, counterparty risk, documentary risk, credit risk. So these are the key challenges, which we are trying to resolve.
But do you see the demand for products or services that you're doing right now? Do you see the increase for that during the pandemic? The increase for the demand for the services that you're offering during the current period?
Yeah, so our personal experience, like many digitization companies around the world, it had been extremely positive as well. We find, customers, much more enthused and coming forward to apply digitization technologies, which is plug and play, subscription based. They come and start using it. It's not like a big implementation. Day one they come in and day two they are on it and they're starting to operate with banks and other entities. So during the pandemic last year, we grew by around 200%, from a business point of perspective. We have around 500 SMEs, working on the platform, which we had around 40 to 50% uptake last year. And it's growing on a pattern, which I think from a digitization point, we got a fast forward button on our mobile, on our remote controls. So I think it had been a great year for us in 2020. And I believe that more digitization support to these SMEs and businesses and banks is going to help the whole ecosystem, to grow, into the future.
On that note, thank you very much Samir Neji, pengasas bersama DLT Ledgers yang bersama kita dari Singapura membincangkan berkenaan dengan keperluan pembiayaan perdagangan oleh PKS serantau. Kita akan teruskan laporan seterusnya. Ahli Parlimen Pematang PAU Nurul Izzah Anwar merasakan tidak adil untuk menyalahkan institusi pengajian tinggi semata-mata dengan menyatakan mereka tidak menghasilkan graduan yang sepadan dengan kehendak pasaran. Beliau membuat kenyataan berkenaan dalam temu bual bersama pemimpin muda lain dalam program Dialog Tiga Penjuru.
Pada saya, kalau nak pastikan ada gandingan, sinergi antara apa yang dimahukan oleh market, oleh syarikat industri, kenapa tak ada sektor yang berinovatif yang dibangunkan secara menyeluruh dari dekad sebelum? Kerana kerja yang berkemahiran tinggi pun tak ada, nak salahkan universiti macam mana? Jadi walaupun saya terimalah kita kena ada universiti, kurikulumnya lebih bersifat memenuhi apa yang dimahukan oleh IR 4.0. Sekarang nak bangunkan vaksin sendiri, nak tak nak kena mula sekarang kan? Do you have enough data technologists, virologists? Tapi mahu tidak mahu, bila ruang pekerjaan pun, tawaran pun tak ada, bagaimana kita nak salahkan hanya universiti? So pada saya itu satu, keduanya adalah kurangnya percambahan dari segi sektor. Our economy is quite limited in scope. Jadi ia bukan sesuatu yang mudah, tapi pada saya tak bolehlah kita hanya lihat kepada satu skop sahaja, iaitu universiti tak melakukan sebaik mungkin. Gandingan itu juga harus wujud.
Nah, sementara itu Ketua Pemuda PAS Senator Khairil Nizam Khairuddin tidak menafikan memang ada graduan dan anak muda yang memilih kerja kerana tidak sepadan dengan bidang yang dipelajari mereka.
Jadi sebenarnya kalau kita nak katakan anak muda itu memilih kerja, tidaklah sempurna saya boleh katakan tidak. Sebab mungkin di sana ada juga anak muda yang memilih kerana peluang mereka dari sudut pelajaran mereka itu, apa yang mereka graduate, selama 5 tahun dia struggle untuk belajar. And yet tiba-tiba dia dapat pekerjaan yang tidak sari, mismatch dengan apa yang dipelajari. Definitely ada di antara mereka yang akan ada resistance. Kita jangan nafikan. Sebab itu pada saya, kalau ada anak muda yang memilih kerja, kalaupun ada, kita kena lihat apakah root cause yang menyebabkan mereka memilih kerja. Adapun yang demikian, saya mengambil pendekatan, ini bukan populis. Pada saya, anak muda di Malaysia boleh bekerja dalam bidang-bidang ini, tidak memilih. Cuma kita perlu memberikan ekosistem atau memberikan venue kepada mereka untuk mereka apply apa yang mereka belajar di peringkat universiti.
Dan sekian Niaga Awani, ikuti info terkini berhubung vaksin COVID-19 di halaman Micro Interaktif di astroawani.com sekarang, dan segala maklumat lain dalam astroawani.com, juga aplikasi Astro Awani. Dan terima kasih kerana menonton saluran berita paling dipercayai di Malaysia. Saya Rizal Zulkapli, salam hormat.